God bless you. We're in the last weekend of November. Everybody looks very thankfuled out, which is good. We can continue to be more thankful all the time. We're going to Mark 11. This is entitled, Why Believe God When I Can Worry? I'll just worry about it. I'm not going to believe God. What do I need to have to get up and do something about it for? I'll just worry about it. In other words, another boring teaching on believing. Mark 11 is where we're going to go. To start with Mark 11, 23, we have in these two verses the law of believing. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, does that include you?
Yes.
Yes, that includes all of us. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, and we can make a t-shirt that says, I'm a whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto all of you people who are listening, because this is Jesus, because it's in red. Therefore, what things soever you desire, what do you want, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, there's a lot more depth to this than just walking around commanding all kinds of mountains to go flying around and new maps having to be made all the time and things like that. That's not really what we're talking about. There's a lot more depth to this. But there's a number of tremendous principles that deal with the law of believing here, because the law of believing is constant, it is reliable, and it tells us not to have any doubt, not to have any fear in our innermost part of our being, in our hearts. Instead, just believe. Now, we can sit on our couch and believe. A lot of times, that won't do it, because you're not taking any action accordingly to go with it. Here, this is a specific revelation that if a mountain had to be moved because of something that needed to be done, then it gives us a great illustration that God is that powerful to have something like that happen. Unfortunately, you just can't walk around and do that. Ball, into the basket. Didn't quite work that way. Well, it would be Hollywood. All right, so go to Mark 5, and let's look at some very simple examples right here. And we'll start there with this law of believing. Mark 5, 22. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. All right, this is a ruler of the synagogue, and so he was a man in authority. He had a daughter who is dying. He chose to, instead of just go out and collect insurance policy, he wanted her to have health, to recover. So he went to the one person he knew who had been showing that ability and had done that in the past a number of times. He left, went over there, and specifically and said, hey, we have a problem. NASA, there's a serious problem here. And so, verse 24, but in his mind, here is what he thought was going to have to happen. You have to come to my house. You have to pray for her. You have to lay hands on her, and then she will be healed. Then she will live. This is where his believing was at. This is what he was expecting. And Jesus went with him, and all kinds of paparazzi were there following him on motorcycles, all kinds of stuff, and they thronged him with their big cameras and everything. Meanwhile, a certain woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. So 12 years she had an illness, and she had suffered many things of many physicians. Her health insurance kept going up, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Now, this is a great saying in the medical field of that day and time, but unfortunately, it's very true today, too. People spending everything, seeing every type of doctor, trying to get the thing handled, and it only gets worse. But, verse 27, she heard that Jesus was near. She knew he had, or she believed he had the ability, so she came to press him, and in her mind, you know, I just need to touch his garment. For she said, her believing in his ability was that if all I do is touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, that was something that was in the custom. There's lots of strange customs, but this custom was that if you would touch the clothes of a holy man, you could get healed that way. And there's another record, one of the other Gospels, where people were doing that. So it's not that strange. Is there any healing, you know, in an animal vest or something like that? No, there isn't. You know, is there any special healing powers in somebody's hands? No, it's all based upon believing. It's based upon exactly what you said. If I may touch, this is my desire. If I can get close enough to this holy man and touch him, I can be delivered, because the doctors sure aren't doing it. And I'm out of money, so this is my last shot at it. You know, and here's Jairus going, you know, she's dying. You can heal her. He went to her. All right, verse 29. And straightway, immediately, so in her mind, if I just touch him, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, dunamis, the Greek word, power had gone out of him. He turned around in the presence and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said, "Excuse me, we're in the middle of a crowd." They just don't get it at times, what's going on. So don't feel bad when you don't get it. I mean, you know, they were with Jesus and things like this were happening, and they're going, you know, five senses wise, you're being, you know, there's a lot of people around here. What do you mean who touched you? They didn't understand the spiritual depth of what was going on. All right. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. So the first question is how did he know it was her? Obviously, revelation. So he was looking specifically for a person who had touched, because of her believing. There's no power in his garment, but that's where her believing was at. And immediately, virtue, power. It wasn't just you rub across the holy man and you're immediately healed. That's not it either. It had to do, you know, you had a number of incidents here that deal with individuals believing. And power went out of him. There was a certain... when you heal people, when you deal with people, power goes out of you. You know, it takes effort. It takes work. There's things involved, and that's what happened in this situation to him. All right. Now, he's looking for her. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And look at verse 34. He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith, thy believing," Greek word pistis, meaning believing, which is much more understandable in our culture, "thy believing has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague." So what does Jesus credit it to? Oh, you touched the right hem of my garment, right above my left ankle, and that is the one spot that you can get healed with. You know? No. He credits one thing, her believing. The reason you are whole, you believed and expected and God delivered. So go in peace now that you are whole of the plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead, don't trouble the master any further." And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "There's nothing more I can do." No, he immediately addresses, "Be not afraid." He addresses mentally where you could give up. If you don't get a job the first hour you're out looking, it's real easy to get frustrated and give up. Then the next day, then the next week, then the next month. But you keep at it because it's a promise of God that he'll meet your need. You know, you keep at it. And God's there, hopefully, directing and helping, and you're listening, because that's the other side of it. Because sometimes you go, "Oh, no, I can't get hired. I can't go do that or this." And that's God going, "No, you can. It's okay. Go do this," you know, type thing. And so basically, he addresses the mind, the mental. Here's what he says. "Be not afraid. Have no fear. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Instead, change the fear to belief. Go back to believing that I have the power and the authority to heal your daughter. Continue to believe the reason you came here is for her deliverance. Nothing has changed." All right? She's just died. That's all that's changed. She was pretty near to it then. So, and he allowed no man. The revelation now changes. He now says, "Okay, nobody's going to need to go. I want Peter, James, and John, the rest of you guys, go home." And then he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, sees the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Once a person dies, the neighbors and the hired thugs, type thing. They come to the house and they wail, and they're professional wailers. That's their job. So they come to wail with everybody. You know, on your resume, what's your job? No, I'm a professional wailer. I get hired by the hour to cry. All right. So they're all there. Now, and he just, you remember, there's a multitude and all the disciples. He just takes three of them, and he's got the ruler of the synagogue and, you know, his men. And they all come into the house, all right? And there's all of this tumult. And them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, What make you this ado? Why are you weeping? She's not dead. I don't care what the doctors say. She's just sleeping. And then they all collectively laughed Jesus Christ to scorn. So you laughed at periodically for being a Christian. We get the last laugh. They laughed at Jesus. Have a nice day. And you know what he did? He took control of the situation. He didn't get frustrated. He didn't drop his gloves and go at it like a hockey fight. You know, he basically took control and said, okay, all of you unbelievers, all of you who don't believe that I have the power and the authority and all that, everybody out. And they'll take the people who have the responsibility to believe now, since the daughter can't believe on her own. He takes control. And he put them all out, and he takes the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John. He goes into where the damsel was lying. Must be a pretty nice place. You know, it's that big for all those people. He was the ruler of the synagogue. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her the magic words, Tuluthikume, abracadabra. You know, no, it's just Aramaic words that were left in here, which is interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, get up, arise. And guess what happened? She got up, and immediately she arose, and she walked, for she was of the age of 12. Charlie, you're 13 now, aren't you? Yeah, okay, so you don't qualify anymore. All right. But here's a 12-year-old. She's 12, and I love that next line. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Yeah? Yeah, that's the human side of life. I can't believe what I just saw. You know? Okay, she is officially dead. They had her dead. There's enough time to collect all the neighbors and everybody to come in and wail for her. And now he gets up there, and he just addresses her, and life comes back in her. And I love verse 43. Mm-hmm. And he charged them straightly that no man should know about it, and commanded that, give her some brownies, give her something to eat. Mm-hmm. But how, you know, when she shows up at school the next day, they're going to know about it. You know, but again, there's reasons why he said that, and it has to do with the fact that for him to be able to move around, do what he needs to do. But here's
Is that why he said don't say anything?
Yeah. Basically, there'd be interference as to what other things he had to do in that area. It was bad enough already. It was just going to increase more.
Okay.
So. Yeah, he doesn't say that every time anybody got healed, don't tell anybody. Yeah. But there are a few records specifically. Like he tells the guy with the legion, go home and show the deliverance. Others, he says, follow me. They all different. Or don't tell anybody. That, you know. So it differs, and it's got to do a lot with the geographical situation of different things that are going on. All right, so the key was was the reason he gave for the woman with the issue of blood? With this guy here, same thing with the daughter, believing, your faith, your believing. You took the necessary action. I mean, if you need a job, first thing you need to do is, let me see, where could I work? And then you get online, you start filling out applications. Or you sit on your couch and say, they're going to call me. And when they don't even know they have a need, unless God's working, unless God says, just sit there and wait. And he can and has done that before in the past too. But the point is you take necessary action. You go and fill out applications. You go to places where you would like to work. You call people and say, hey, need anybody? That type of a thing. So you're constantly, you're acting on things. And when it comes to believing, like we read about earlier in Mark, go to Romans 10, it's got to be based upon not man's word, but God's word. When it comes to the spiritual realm, when it comes to, you look at the calendar, and Thanksgiving was the fourth Thursday. It's always the fourth Thursday, which happened to be, the 28th this year? 27th, because it was really late. All right. Now, I don't really like the 27th. I probably would have preferred the 20th. So I had Thanksgiving on the 20th. No, that's the calendar doesn't tell me that. It's that specific date. That's the date for this particular event. Okay. So we believe, and then we act accordingly. We go and buy the turkey, get the red wine, the stuffing, all those type of things. Find out where all the relatives are, who's off from work, you know. But the thing is that we believe things all the time. 10:30 on Sunday, you can show up here, and usually somebody will be here, and they'll be teaching the Bible. You don't have to think, I wonder if Jim's going to show up today. You know, is he going to lock the door? Will we have coffee? So when it comes to specific things, spiritually, it needs to be based upon Romans 10:17 here. Let's read it. So then faith, believing, Romans 10:17. So then faith or believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear what the word of God has to say, you take the corresponding action, you get the corresponding godly result. So if you want, if you look on your guide for television, it says, oh, the football game is on at 6:30. Okay, what channel? There is the believing action, and you turn to that, and then you get preempted because of something going on in the world. No, it's there, football. Nothing preempts football anymore. but that's the point. You get the information, you believe, you take necessary action. You go, nah, I really think it should start 2 hours later. And then you do tune in 2 hours later, it's not on. Because you didn't do specifically the right action based upon the right information. So then faith, believing, when it comes to dealing with spiritual matters, comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we go to the Bible, and it says, go touch Jesus. You go touch the holy man. He can heal you. You go and do. And she got the result. All right. She had learned that from the synagogues. Now, here's the point, is that today we have a Bible. We can read it. There's lots of promises. We can take the necessary action. But we hear the word of God. It builds our believing. And then we get the desired result when it comes to spiritual matters, which supersedes the physical realm. Because there's things we need, like healing. But by his stripes, we are healed. Spiritually, we're healed. Physically, we're not manifesting it yet. So we need to be ministered to or something. Go to Hebrews 11. We'll be back in Romans in a little bit here, but this woman was applauded for her believing, and she had to specifically believe the accuracy when it came to receiving her deliverance, the healing that needed to be done with that. Hebrews 11, verse 1, kind of gives us a little bit of a definition, because it says, now faith is. So that pretty much helps us to define it. All right. Hebrews 11, 1. I'm going to read you it says here in Hebrews 11, 1, now faith or believing is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read you the working translation from Reverend Walter Cummins' translation on this. Now believing is the foundation. It's the title deed. It's the nature, substance, essence, ground foundation, as opposed to appearance, of matters hoped for, the proof of things not seen. All right. Until Jessica sees the ring, Tyler could talk about it, but all right. But now she's got the proof.
Yeah.
Tyler, Jessica, yeah. All right. So the believing is the foundation. It's the title deed of matters hoped for. You want this to happen. Believing is the proof that it's going to happen. But specifically, if it's based upon the word of God, or specific revelation is the other part. If God specifically tells you, go to that hairdresser at this time, the boss will be there, talk to them, you will get hired. All right, then you have a specific, that's revelation given to you. You show up at that time, you take the necessary action, and it clockwork, because God tells you that. If you go, I'm going to show up at this time because I know they're going to be there, and they're going to hire me, well, I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to expect it, but there's no guarantees yet, unless you got the specific revelation from God or the specific promise from God. So, here's a translation of this verse in the Aramaic Peshitta text. Listen to this. Now, believing is the assurance concerning those things that are in hope, as if they had, in fact, happened, and the evidence of those things that are not seen. So it's going to happen. I'm expecting it to happen. God promises it's going to happen. I'm going to take the necessary action, and we have the law of believing there. Now, we have to make sure that it's believing what it says in the Word or specific revelation, and just what we want to have happen. And then we direct God. God, this has to happen this way because you have to do it my way. And that's where we start getting in trouble. And you hear most, many Christians' prayer lives are that way. They direct God what he's supposed to do for you. Rather than, okay, God, I need this handled and this met. And God does, has a ways of doing a lot of different things. Verse 2 here, Hebrews 11:2 says, in fact, by it, or by believing, the elders received witness, or they received a good report from God. And so, how the witness continues on in this entire chapter, but because of their believing, and specifically believing about the Messiah, that's what happened. Look at verse 6. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith or without believing, it's impossible to please God. Well, that says this must be an important subject matter. Because we want to please God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. So first off, you got to believe there is a God, a real God, a true God. And that he, that God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now that's really refreshing. The true God will reward them who diligently seek him. So then, that's A plus B. C then, diligently seek him, right? Then we get the answers, then we're blessed, God's blessed, and we have a nice day. And we get answers to prayer. But without it, without believing, we can't, you know, that God is there, there's a true God, that we can't get rewarded. So we've got to put first things first. If we jump to, let me see. Let's go back to 10:38. Because we fall into this category. 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. All right? We want to be just, so we live by faith or believing. So then chapter 11, it shows all these different just men and women that believed God and got results for believing God. So we have to believe there is a God. We have to do what it is he wants us to do. And then we can live, since we're just, by faith. But what kind of faith? Romans 10:17. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we then need to read the Bible. We then need to believe the Bible. We need to take necessary biblical action on it. Romans 4. Like prayer. It helps get our mind lined up with God and gets us peaceful to receive, to believe for answers from God. Romans 4. Oh, actually, I skipped the... Well, we're in Romans 4. We'll do that one, then we'll go back to Hebrews. All right, Romans 4:20. Dealing with one of those people from Hebrews chapter 11 named Abraham. Abraham just, you know, as soon as he prayed for something, it happened. No. He had to believe God for 30 years for the promise. So sometimes it takes a little bit more longer than we would like it to take. But Abraham got his need met all the way through, and he kept trying to figure out ways out to do it himself, but finally he did it God's way and got the results. Romans 4:20 says, he, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. He was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. He was fully convinced that if God had promised it, God would be able also to perform it. Did God have a promise? Yes. Did they have a child? Yes. So God performed it. But he didn't let the circumstances, the endless suggestions of the adversary stop him from believing the promise of God. Even though he didn't get it the first day or the second day of the first year, he stayed expecting God to work in the situation God did, because he was fully persuaded. God says he will meet our need. Every one of our need, whatever the next one is, he says he's going to meet. He's, you know, and then he specifically in Matthew 6 lays out food, clothing, raiment, internet access. You know, things really got to have transportation, stuff like that. You know, reliable snowboards and things like that. So, things like that. Okay. So, we go back to Hebrews 4. So, we do not let unbelief stop us from taking the next necessary action. We may sometimes go, okay, God, you want me to do what? And God said, do it, you'll see. And we do it, and we get the result. All right, Hebrews 4:2. So we don't let fear stop us, and we don't let worry, doubt, unbelief, lack of action, thinking the promises are too good for us, condemnation, all of these things are suggestions by the adversary. All right? 4:1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So God has promised us rest. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with believing in them that heard it. There's no profit unless you take action on it. You can sit there and go, yeah, if I do this, this will happen, and then not do it. Great. That's unbelief. That's the fear or the ignorance or the, just not willing or wanting to take the necessary action. So it didn't profit because it wasn't mixed with the action. You got the belief, God will do it, got the knowledge, but then you don't do anything with it. No, do something with it. Mix believing with action and get profit. And God will really be there doing more for you. And sometimes the profit is, well, I know that's not where the job is. Oops, no, that's not where the job is. All right, mark those off my list. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. How about this person? Let's try this one. How about this one? 2 Peter. Hebrews, James, Peter. All right. So, faith, believing comes from hearing, and hearing the right way of believing, hearing the word of God. So we have to believe God's word, and then we act on it because we want it mixed with believing to get the desired results. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So for Christmas this year, you get exceeding great and precious promises from God. Man, I can't wait to tear open that package under the tree. It's not on the tree, it's not on Christmas and all that. But anyway, but this is what God has made available for us, right? He's given us, let's pick it up in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power, according to God's divine authority, gave unto us all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to godliness, through the knowledge of him that we get from the word of God that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby then are given unto us, through this great knowledge, through these great promises, through the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have great and precious promises. Okay, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and the word of God says, I have exceeding great and precious promises for you. Look at Ephesians 1. I always think of this one to start with, this great promise. These are available. So what do? We claim it. We claim it. Ephesians 1:3. Here's an exceeding precious promise. If we don't ever read the word, we don't know these promises are available. We can't live them. We can't claim them. We don't benefit from them. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. So are you blessed? Incredibly, with spiritual blessings. All right, so we're thankful that we know God. We're thankful that we know the Son. We're thankful that we understand that the Son accomplished great things for us. And because of all that, we have spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, which are incredible. But we don't ever want to claim them. God forbid. We just want to be miserable in this life. No, we don't. We don't. Look at 3:20. All right. Oh, actually, don't look at 3:20. We've got to stop on the way, go to 1:19 first, sorry. Stop at 1:19 on the way to 3:20. Ephesians 1:19 tells us, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? So when we believe, we have an exceeding greatness of his power working in us according to the working of his mighty power. So what is this exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. And then it just continues to put us in our place. Well, Ephesians 3:20 gives us part of the answer. Now we can move on to Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do only, that's me adding that, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, again, according to the power that works in us. God has given us incredibly spiritual blessings. And when we operate the power, we get the result of exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So let's live life on our own. No, let's not live life on our own. This, again, is what's available. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. It's according to us operating the power that works in us. It sits there dormant till you do something with it. And in many situations, the power needs to be, okay, God, what's going on? Word of knowledge. What do I do with it? Word of wisdom. Sometimes it's healing needed or other things like that. But a lot of times, okay, God, I have your word, I can read your word, I can believe your word, and sometimes I need specific information on what to do to make this work. That's the power working in us. Okay, God, I need some help. Revelation. Where do I go? Who do I talk to? What do I do next? And then you act on it. You don't go, whoa, that's what you want me to do? What? Look at 6:16 of Ephesians. 6:16 says, above all, this is the great segment of putting on the whole armor of God. Above all, take the shield of believing. Take the shield of faith. You take the shield wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You got the shield. You're holding it out there. You're advancing. You're doing what you need to do. And since the God of this age is such a lovely, kind, gentle, caring host, he wants the best for us. That's why he's throwing fiery darts at us. So guess what? Fiery darts come with living in this world. That's part of, unfortunately, what we have to deal with. So, but if we take the shield of believing that's based upon the word of God, that's mixed with our believing, so we're taking the action, boom, there goes the dart. Boom, there goes the dart. Oh, we tried to come in from the sideways. Won't let them do that one. Oh, and we just keep moving. And God is with us. So we take the shield of believing because we need it. Galatians 5. Go back a couple pages. Galatians 5, verse 6. The first part, for Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, not circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but, here's the key, but faith or believing, which is energizer, worketh by love. And there is the key. Out of love, we act on our believing, out of our love for God, out of our love for Jesus Christ and what he accomplished, out of our love for each other, for providing, for knowing that God will take care of us, for having to give, and all the other things you want to put in there. Believing is energized or works because of love. Love is the bottom line, because if you don't love, you don't care, it doesn't matter, and we can just sit here and watch late night shows and see how many black and white movies we can get in tonight type thing. So now, there's a reason for it all. Faith believing is energized because of love. Believing appropriates, but love energizes behind it and gets us going. So we go to Mark 6, and we can see they had great love for Jesus in his hometown. No, we'll see exactly the opposite. But did Jesus love? Yeah, he went with Jairus. Did he love that woman who just touched it and dunamis went out of him? Yeah, very much so. Did God love and put the plan together and give us a book to understand these exceeding great precious promises? Absolutely. Mark 6:4, we read, Jesus is in his hometown. He went to their synagogue, and everybody went, what the heck is going on here? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Remember the story that Mary told us? Sure. They were offended at him in verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. I had somebody call me last night, and he was dealing with a situation, and basically it was like, well, it's your brother, and you guys grew up together, and the prophet is without honor because you guys know each other too well. So sometimes it's better to get away, and that's what Jesus is saying. Look, a prophet can go everywhere and be honored, but sometimes at home he has to stay home and do the laundry and do the dishes and do the, type situation, so to speak. His own country, his own people, his own house, they don't recognize him, but everybody else will. And because of that, he could there do no mighty work, except he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and marveled because of their unbelief, their lack of faith, their lack of believing. They didn't want to even hear what he had to say. So then he said, I can heal a few people. But he took off to the other villages and taught there and had much greater results because the people knew the family. They did not believe who he was, who he really was. What are you going to do about it? He moved on. God instructed him to continue on. He made it available at home. So really, go to Romans 8. What kind of life do you want to live? Do you want the more abundant life based upon the Word of God? You believe, you read the Word, you see the promises, you believe it, you act on it, and you stay giving the glory to God like Abraham did. You stay put day in and day out, knowing that the true God will meet your need and will take care of you. Romans 8:31 we read, I have to go to the, what shall we say to all these things? If God be for us, pray tell, who can be against us?
No one.
IRS. No. Not even them. Not even the great power that's behind them. All right. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God gave us a promise, we believe it, we act, will it come to pass? Yes. Will there be fiery darts coming at us? Yes. But you keep moving. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's all been paid for. So it's free to us. Who is going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God? God's going to lay, sorry. God's going to say, no, God justified you. Why would he do it? Who's going to condemn you for it then? Christ? No, he died. He died on your behalf. So why would he want to, you know, lay anything to charge? Why should he condemn you? He gave his life on your behalf. He wants you to enjoy it because of it. You know? Christ? No. Yea, rather that is risen again, is even at the right hand of God, who's continuing to work, making intercession for you. Who shall separate us then from the love of Christ? And these are real life situations. Tribulations, distresses, persecution, famine, you know, nakedness, peril, sword. All these different things are real life situations. The adversary is saying, this situation is bigger than God. God can't help you anymore. You're on your own. Figure it out yourself. No, these things are not to be ignored because it's part of life. These are the fiery darts being thrown at us. And then we could accept verse 36. Oh, we're being killed all day long. We're just another martyr for Jesus. We can be just sheep ready for the slaughter. We're going to end up on the big herd in the Denver Post yesterday, or 2 days ago, they had a big thing about the sheep that get herded across from Colorado, from Meeker into Utah. And literally, it's the old-fashioned way. They got, you know, thousands of sheep all going like they used to for years and years and years. Of course, some people ride in pickup trucks and others on horseback. But it was just one of those situations. That's what we are. We're just part of those sheep. Yeah, life's just too bad for us. It's not good. We can be just ready for the slaughter. However, verse 37 tells us what we really should be. Nay, in all these things. And you can put whatever life situations there are, because every one of them has been conquered. In every one of those situations, you are a super conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through your great ability to believe God, because you are so wonderful. You're the biggest, the baddest, the quickest, the sharpest. No, none of the above. Since we know, all of us know we're none of the above, it's because of him that loved us. So we can be persuaded. We can be convinced that even in death, or life, or angels, or principalities, rulers, nor powers, nor things present, or whatever comes out of Washington, D.C., anything to come, height, depth, any other creature or creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So can we have a good day because of all of this?
Yeah.
Yes, we can. But it's a decision you have to make. God is, to quote, the great VeggieTale line, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He really is. And we have to make sure that we don't let the boogeyman talk us out of the greatness of God. So with that, we go to Psalm 37 to close. We had to pause for, you know, impact. Because the boogeyman is really one bad dude. Psalm 37. So, should we believe? Yes. What should we believe? What's in the Word, and specifically what God says? Should we give up? Should we let fear? Should we let the endless suggestions of the adversary talk us out of it? There's no jobs available for you. Yes, there is, because God will meet our need. God will take care of us. We can believe and trust God. We can be like Abraham. It's going to happen. We've got all these precious blessings. We just continue to believe what's in the Word. We claim the promises. God specifically tells us certain things. We take action on it. And then, 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So, Father, thank you for your great love, your care, and your guidance, and that you did give us your word. We can believe it. And we know that you're with us at all times because we have the proof. We can speak in tongues. We're thankful for your love and for what your son accomplished, and that we're just waiting for him to come back. Meanwhile, we're just going to enjoy you and this time that we have left until your son returns. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.